I grew up in the Mormon Church. Born and raised, as they say. Even during the times of inactivity, I still considered myself to be a true believing Mormon. Times and people change, and when someone pushes you to reevaluate your beliefs, you sometimes realize how wrong you were. 2016 was the year I moved from Mormonville to Heathensburg. I'm Molly Ann Mormon. Welcome to Doubting Dogma, where I explore my new views and new friendships, moving on without religious belief. All right, coming to you from Heathensburg, Pennsylvania, this is Doubting Dogma. I'm going back to the old intro because Rissy missed it. I am Molly Ann Mormon, and with me, of course, you already heard her, is the Purple Amazon who is taking over St. Paul, right?
Yep.
Minnesota,
yeah.
Chris McCool.
Yeah, and I'll be taking over Duluth, too, because I go up there for classes twice a week starting next week, so it'll be fun.
Yes, that is. And you said that was how long of a drive?
About 2.5 hours, but...
Oh, my gosh.
As opposed to driving to Philadelphia, it's a super, super uneventful drive, and... the last 10 miles of the drive, like, you go over this hill, and then suddenly the port of Lake Superior just unveils below you, and it is so gorgeous. I never get tired of it.
I guess if it's only twice a week, and it's a beautiful drive, it's not too bad, I guess?
Yeah, there's that. There's the fact that it's a beautiful campus. It's the University of Minnesota, but it's the Duluth campus, so... It's kind of like Penn State's Harrisburg campus, where it's like it's its own separate thing, but it's still connected to the university. And I took it because after spending 4 years in downtown Philadelphia, the idea of a small campus on a hill somewhere seemed really appealing.
I can absolutely see that because big cities make me crazy.
Yeah, especially Philadelphia, which is one of the most inaccessible cities I've ever been to.
Yeah, I have only been, I guess, within the city... limits proper a couple times. Once was when we went to the Philly Zoo,
mm-hmm.
and once when I went to a concert at, I want to say it was at the Electric Factory.
Yeah, on the 7th. I've been there a couple times, and just for some perspective, the Philly Zoo is on 34th, right where it hits 30. If you go toward town another like 2 miles, that's where my campus is. So
okay.
Just imagine coming from the Harrisburg area into that every single day.
Yeah, I'll pass. Tempting as that sounds.
Yeah. I'm rather happy to, you know, it's a long drive, but I need that recharge time, that podcast time, that time to just sort of be alone with my thoughts and prepare for the day and then afterward to reflect on it. It's very useful to me to have that time.
Yeah, I can see that. Because, I mean, I got an hour drive myself, and while it really sucks, I mean, it has absolutely helped me power through all kinds of podcasts, so.
Right. How are you holding up? I know you're going through some difficult stuff.
Okay. Adequate, I guess. Right now, I'm still a little... woozy and lightheaded because I went and visited some vampires and let them take a pint of my life away because I'm able to do that. So I figure if I'm able to, then I should because that helps, you know, well, all kinds of people when something bad happens. So.
Oh, sure. I'm type O negative, so I can appreciate that. Although it's a lot harder since I started transitioning because I used to have a really high pain tolerance and now giving blood makes me cry. So it's, you know, I spent so much of my life like building up this level of not just pain tolerance, but this ability to go through things that are on varying levels of pain. And now like the easier ones are torment. So I'm doing my best to sort of learn to manage myself a little better. I can't go all out like I used to.
See, and that was one of the things I was wondering about, because those that haven't donated blood, and I do know some people who have never been through the process, and they have no idea the kind of questions that are asked.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they ask, you know, Have you ever used needles for anything other than a prescribed medication? And have you ever had sex with a man who's had sex with a man within, you know, and all this kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if the hormone treatment, like, would play a factor in that.
It does. Callie specifically has said, you know, she's fiance was Celeste, and they're both trans women, but in the eyes of donating blood, it's still technically two men in their eyes, so she can't give blood.
Wow. I was wondering about that. That's...
Yeah, there's still a lot of catching up to do, and there's still a lot of homophobia left over from the AIDS epidemic in the 80s.
Yeah, and that's part of why I almost feel like it's sort of my duty to, because I can, and there are so many people that can't, and like when it's needed so bad all the time anyways, like, I don't know, does that make any sense? My brain is not at its highest functioning capacity today.
Molly, it's okay. All right? It's okay.
So, I will say though, it felt incredibly hysterically sacrilegious to be sitting there at a church to donate blood while listening to Noah, Heath, and Eli on my earbuds.
Yeah, I've sort of given up on the potential of awkwardness for that as, how should I say this? My son loves listening to all four shows now, and it's like, all right, let's go with it.
Yeah, well, you know the area of Pennsylvania I'm in. And
I do.
I mean, there are, I think my husband said it's a 2-to-1 church to bar ratio in our town.
I believe it.
Or 3-to-1?
2-to-1.
2-to-1. Yeah. So, yeah, 2 churches for every bar. And so, you know, there are some corners where I swear there's a different church on almost each corner. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
I know the town of Mechanicsburg alone, at least 10 years ago when I looked up the statistic, had 81 churches. Like, most people don't even know where Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania is. And there's 81 churches. How are people filling all of these places? I don't get it.
Probably.
Sorry, I don't know if you can hear him. You probably can, because my little mic picks up all kinds of stuff, but he's gonna look something up. But yeah, I mean, Shippensburg here is only 5,500 people according to the borough website.
Oh, you already know that. Okay. Yeah, 5,000 people, and we have 7 bars and 14 churches.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'm this area was settled partially by the Irish and partially by Scandinavians, and even St. Paul, it's named after obviously a Catholic saint, and there is a lot of Catholics here. But at the same time, the only time I really see any religious resistance is, of course, at Pride. And I was on my campus for the first time yesterday, and somebody told me, oh yeah, this is the area where the Westboro Baptist people come and protest some of the time because we, you know, accept the queers. So I was like, hey, did I tell you that I came out that way? And I got to tell that story all over again.
Nice. You're going to have a whole new level of hate preacher stompage.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I got to spread the trans somehow, and what better way to do it?
All right. So, where did you want to start? Did you want to start listener question?
Well, it was important enough stuff? That you felt like giving me a tip off about it, so let's go for it.
Yes. Okay, so someone has written a little note to our Facebook page, and let me see. He said, good episode this week. I found it really helpful because I don't think I mentioned I have a first cousin who is trans. I didn't know this until recently when my uncle, his father, passed away and his funeral was held back in Utah. This person is an ex-Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there, but all my cousins and uncles, even my parents, were there, and there was a lot of Facebook activity around it. And in the midst of that activity was this, let's see, generic name, Bob. There was this Bob who nobody had ever heard of. "Hey, I don't even think I have a cousin, Bob," he says. "I don't know if I did. Or I'd know if I did. Who is this guy anyways?" "Well, Bob used to be my cousin, Roberta," "whom I did not know well. But we are Facebook friends now, and I genuinely want to be supportive and be the kind of cousin a person can turn to and look to for support. Not just earn ally points or something, but out of genuine compassion. But I am reluctant to engage with Bob because much because I just know I am going to end up saying something stupid, insensitive, or hurtful just because I am not good at saying the right things all the time. And I really, really don't want to be hurtful. I'll do anything not to cause hurt." Riss's comments this week about how trans people want to be treated, and he says, like people, you know, gave me a little more confidence, but any advice? And, I mean, I told him, "I can't speak to it really. If you don't mind, though, I will ask you, and you can give him an answer." And he said, to add for context, this is a very traditional Mormon family. However, to his knowledge, most people are supportive and welcoming of Bob. Except some seem to treat him like a newcomer and not with the continuity of personhood as Roberta. Apparently, he spoke at his father's funeral and had some fairly confronting things to say about him.
Oh. Okay, so if I could re-summarize the question just to make sure I got it. Someone who's well-meaning but isn't always sure of the right things to say wants to know how to better speak to a trans person without hurting them?
Yeah, and I guess to get over the awkwardness of just, well, "Hi, I want to support you," kind of thing, you know, and he says that you saying, "Well, just treat us like anybody else," helped, but he wants to make sure that he doesn't cause any additional offense. Well, additional, I don't want to say additional because that makes it sound like he already caused some, but he doesn't want to cause any sort of offense, and he just doesn't want to say anything that will unintentionally be hurtful.
And that's a good place to come from. Like, the fact that he's already at that place means that he's on the right track. One of the best, you know, there are a couple things I always say, and one of them is, when in doubt, ask. But someone proposed a good way to ask recently. Like, they said they were outside a bathroom and saw a trans person looking nervous, and they said, would a good way to approach that be like, "Do you need any help?" as opposed to, "Do you want me to go with you?" Or, you know, directly putting them on the spot. And that's a good way to put it, because most of us can find that second level of reasoning to know exactly what that means. But another thing is, we're used to people screwing up, and we can usually tell the difference between someone who is well-intended and someone who is going to immediately be defensive if we speak up for ourselves. And it doesn't sound like you're going to be the latter. So if I could summarize before I get into a little more detail, if you mess up, most of the time we'll say, "Hey, could you not do that?" And if you go, "Oh, my bad," we're fine. I mean, there's of course that level of when we get misgendered or, you know, called the wrong thing, even by accident, it does sting. But if someone is willing to accept the fact that we'll speak up for ourselves and not necessarily in a confrontational manner, just like, you know, "Hey, it's she," or "Hey, it's this name, not the one you used to know me by." If you can avoid getting defensive, that will be your best bet. And like, let's use you as an example. You didn't know me as my true self at first, and when you did, you know, there was a slight period of awkward time, as there is when I come out to anybody, but for the most part it was, "Oh, okay," you know, and that's the way to treat it. When someone tells you they're gay, they're bi, they're, you know, otherwise, or trans, or, you know, some form of that, the best way to approach it is to treat it like they just told you that they got a haircut except, you know, there's some slight modification of name and pronouns. But, you know, approaching them the same way any other way is pretty reasonable, because the person is still the person. There's just some slight differences in how they act or how they present, or, you know, there's certain things they might be sensitive about that they didn't used to be. But for the most part, I don't think you're going to see a great degree of difference. And the fact that you are concerned is very helpful. So I would suggest asking a lot of open-ended questions as opposed to specific things. You know, instead of being like, well, how can I better help you with the transition? Just be like, hey, do you need anything? You know, how are you today? Are you all right? Is there anything I can do? Like, open-ended stuff like that allows the person on the other end to either go, no, I'm good. Or if there's something that they may need help with, or there's, you know, a dysphoric thing they're feeling, they can give, it gives them the agency to say so, instead of feeling like someone else sees their weakness. And I think that's a good way to approach anything, let alone trans people. So, you know, be open to criticism and correction, but just, you know, when I say treat them like people, I don't mean you have to walk on eggshells, but if you get corrected or say the wrong thing, most of us will speak up and be like, hey, don't say that. And most of our friends who have stuck with us are more than willing to go, oh, I'm sorry, and it's over.
Yeah, and I guess one thing I've heard that's like the more, I don't want to say offensive, but almost, is when if you get corrected, you automatically get all defensive. Well, I didn't mean anything. I didn't, you know, this kind of stuff. Just accept the constructive criticism and move on.
Right. It's not making it about yourself. I've definitely had some family members who, when they've used the wrong pronoun, I very gently said, you know, she. And they say, well, they automatically jump in, well, you've got to give me time to adjust, and it's going to be a while. And it's like, yeah, I know that, but you have to allow me the space to be hurt. You have to acknowledge that whether or not you meant it, it does hurt. It doesn't mean we're mad at you. It doesn't mean, you know, that we're going to erase you from our lives, but we can't pretend that we aren't hurt by not being seen as who we are, even if it is unintentional and well-intended.
I think Callie talked about that before, didn't she?
At the live show, yep.
That's what I thought. So if you haven't listened to the Inciting Incident episodes 100 and 101, you should. Okay. All right, next, I know you said you had some stuff you wanted to go over?
Yeah, and this is unfortunately an all too common occurrence in the atheist community. And, you know, there's this idea that because we aren't forced upon by the rules of religion or that indoctrination mindset, that we're free of some of the problems that exist within it. And one of those areas where we'd like to think we're better than we are, but we're not, is when a cis white straight male gets accused by usually a woman of inappropriate conduct or sexual contact, the community will still victim blame the shit out of the woman. And there's a particular case of that going on right now that I'm not going to mention any names, but if you've been at all active in the skeptic community, you've heard about it. And I couldn't help but notice that this person went on Facebook and explained their whole situation and was very open about it, didn't really condemn anybody but the person and the whole idea of the fact that misogyny still exists, and it still exists and it's pervasive within the atheist community. And within the comments, there's still this, well, painting it with such a broad brush, this, you know, it's alienating. And, you know, not all of us act like that. The vast majority of us don't. And I get so frustrated by that, because so many times people don't realize, A, you're making it about yourself, and B, you're missing the fucking point. And the point is, someone is speaking out about something they dealt with, or a person, or a very difficult situation, and the fact that you, as an uninvolved guy, immediately feel the need to get defensive, like, once again, something we're talking about here, and, you know, make sure that everybody knows, well, you're not like that, it ends up coming across as subconscious guiltiness, as opposed to, look at how good of an ally I am. And I don't think that's what you want to communicate. And it's also a mindset you probably want to avoid if you don't want people associating you with those groups.
Yeah, and there are times, because I mean, listening to the podcast that I do, you don't encounter that. You know, I mean, they don't have a bunch of misogyny. I mean,
well, there is, but not generally in the circles we're in.
Not the ones that I listen to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Lucinda has This Week in Misogyny, where she talks about it and addresses it specifically. And so it's like, when I was exposed to the community and like, this was the attitude that I had seen, it was something of a shock to me when I got on different like Facebook pages and stuff and read comments of certain posts to see the extent of the bigotry that we're still fighting on this side of the fence.
Yeah.
But, oh, if there's anything that makes you lose faith in humanity, it's the comments section.
Yeah, it used to be avoid the YouTube comments section, but now it's like any Facebook post that has content about misogyny or rape or sexual assault or women or trans people or gay people. And it is like, that's when they come out of the woodwork and, you know, remind us that, can't we just focus on atheism instead of all this social justice crap? And it's like, well, we enjoy existing too. So generally, as I've always said, whenever someone says PC is running amok, it means they got called on something and aren't able to get away with it anymore.
And I still, like, this irks me too. I don't understand how people have turned social justice warrior into a derogatory. Because they love throwing that around as freely as the right throws around the snowflakes and this kind of stuff. But it's like, well, it's a good thing though, because if people don't stand up for social issues and trying to get equality across the board, I mean, nothing is going to change and we'd still be in the dark ages.
Yeah.
And, you know, we couldn't vote and, you know, we'd...
Well, let's put it this way. It is much easier to be in a position of privilege and see someone speaking out with something that you have no experience with and or you're unfamiliar with their perspective. And it's much easier to go, oh, goddamn, another person wants rights? This is so ridiculous. Because then you don't have to do anything. Then you don't have to learn anything. You can just sit there as you are, not change at all, and write a whole bunch of people off. And that's a lot easier than it is to examine or change behavior or maybe take a word out of your vocabulary. So half the time, I really don't think people have malicious intent behind it, but that doesn't make it okay.
Yeah. Oh,
so, you had an example of that sort of along the same lines.
Yeah. Because I've got, well, on my Molly on Mormon Facebook profile, right, that is my public one that I have. Like, most of my friends have been friended because of mutual friends through the podcasting and that kind of stuff. So almost all these people I have not met, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go and, like, troll parts of their page when I have time before, if I accept a friend request. But if I see anything from them, it is very easy for me to give them the boot at that point, because I don't freaking know them. But that was the case with this, because somebody posted an article, and the article was Teen Boy Student Seduced by Married Teacher 36 at, quote, Horn Dog High, which I didn't stop to read the article, so I don't know if that's actually the name of it or
I highly whatever. Doubt it.
Yeah. Awarded $750,000. And this person said, who's the victim here? If only I could have been such a victim as a young man. And I was just instantly infuriated. I snapped a screenshot of it, unfriended him, censored his name, and he had tagged a friend, so I censored that too, and posted it up and said, not okay, piss off. Yeah. Basically, just show yourself the door. I hope it freaking smacks you or freaking gives you a splinter in the ass on the way out. But, I mean, we see this sort of attitude where if it's a you know, 12, 13-year-old girl who's, you know, got her preacher or her gym teacher or something coming on to her, well, that's creepy and he's a pedophile. But when it's a young man, a teenage boy, and it's an older woman, and especially if she's, you know, moderately attractive and not like some old hag or something like that, you know, they're all like, oh, where was that when I was a kid? Oh, he's so lucky. I mean, there's this blatant double standard, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah. A good way to think of this is, you know, there's always this idea that men can't be raped or men can't be sexually assaulted. And a lot of that comes from this mentality, which whether or not it's intentional, and I need to reiterate that, whether or not it's intentional, it, you know, keeps the myth that men always want sex. And then they're harmed by that when they try to speak out because people think that they always want sex. And they're like, oh, come on, you probably were asking for it. And that's the same toxic behavior that we try to fight against, especially in the case of when a female is in that same position. So, you know, the first part is if they're under 18, they can't consent, period. It doesn't matter if they wanted it, they can't consent. So right away, that's a problem and it doesn't matter. But also, you know, there maybe this person didn't want it but felt pressured to for a grade, or, you know, they felt like they were in a position where they couldn't say no.
Well, and anytime there's that certain dynamic of one of them is in a power of authority over the other, I mean, work environments, college environment, school environments, you know, anything like that, they have this in the church environments too. And that's, like, that dynamic changes everything. And so the victims often do feel incredibly pressured that they can't say no because of, you know, pay, promotion, lose their job, bad grade, flunked out of school, taken off the team, you know, whatever, all these different circumstances. And so just that power dynamic is so incredibly toxic when you get certain people into those positions of authority and they exploit it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting seeing as I used to at least pretend to be male, and getting to move across the spectrum and see how the dynamic changes and both how people are treated in different ways. It's incredible. Because then those same people who are like, oh, where was that when I was in high school? When a woman is speaking up maybe about females who get raped or females who get assaulted or stalked or otherwise to make feel uncomfortable, they'll say, well, what about all the males that do? And it's like, you can't have it both ways. You can't openly encourage inappropriate sexual behavior. And then whenever someone is talking about theirs, suddenly be surprised and try to derail a conversation. It's, once again, it devolves back to that idea of changing the conversation and making it about yourself. And we're all guilty of it. We have all done it. But it happens with some frequency in these areas. And there's, even in the skeptic community, where we like to think there's less misogyny or less transphobia or less homophobia or anything, there's still this toxic misogyny that, you know, it encompasses a lot of these discussions and these behaviors that may have been influenced by religion but are no longer associated with them. So it's super, super important to call this shit out.
Yeah, there was another article I saw this week, and this one I did read, and it was pretty lengthy and quite disturbing. And it had to do with a high school football team in Texas. And a couple of boys had been, like, I guess, promoted from the junior varsity to the varsity team. And one of them had expressed, like, nervousness to his mom before the first game and everything, because he had heard of some of the quote-unquote initiations that went on. And apparently what was happening was allegedly some of these older players, the seniors and juniors, I guess, were holding the first year, the ones that just got on the varsity team, they were holding them down and they were sodomizing them with objects.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, I think they said, 7 of them that are being charged as adults, because some of them are 18. The police are involved, and I guess they've identified, like, because some of the teammates are the ones that came forward and reported it. But the victims don't want to speak up because, I mean, you know, they're like, well, that's, like, just what happens. And they feel like it's just part of the hazing. And people in the school, people in the community are lashing out at the victims because this is a Texas town and this is football.
Mm-hmm.
And if something happens, these boys, these seniors, are going to lose scholarships. They're going to, you know, and, oh.
Yeah.
I was reading this article and I was just so mad. And I was so upset and hurt for these kids that, I mean, one, they've just been assaulted by their teammates, and they're too scared to speak up. They're too timid to go against, well, this is just a hazing initiation that everybody went through.
The fact that supposedly everybody went through it make it all that much more horrifying?
I know.
Like, the fact that there's been this...
How long has this been going on?
Yeah.
Have the coaches been there? Have they just been turning a blind eye? I mean, is this another freaking... Is it Sandusky?
Right.
It, you know, I'm...
And, you know, there's this horrific behavior. And then people willing to, you know, blow it off because football, or because boys will be boys, and or because everybody went through it. And the fact that people are so willing to casually dismiss it as boys being boys is, I think, the most horrific one of all.
It's horrifying.
I don't even know what more to say about that, because I can't imagine being in the position where you feel like a football game or a football team is more important than not being sodomized, like, against your will. That's horrific.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, they're having like 2 and 3 team members hold down the one, and then just the fact that the whole community is turning on these victims.
Of course they are. It's ruining their chances at the football thing. Like,
yeah, and I have never understood why the sports balls of any variety is that important
yeah.
to anyone.
And I'm a diehard sports fan even still, and I'm with you. Like, you know, I worked in college football for the past 2 years, and if I had known anything, if anything like that had been going on with the kids that I was working with, I'd be just as horrified, and I wouldn't care if it ruined our chances at the, you know, conference championship or whatever, because they're fucking people. And it's not okay.
Yeah. And I mean, not to plug your book, but in your novel False Start, they had, I mean, it wasn't the same situation, but it was the football community and everything getting involved with the high school team and everything. But
mm-hmm.
if you haven't read that book, you should.
Yeah.
I cried like for half of it. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Thank
it was a good
you.
Book. It like strikes you right in the feels. Okay. Yeah, this week has just like absolutely destroyed my hope in humanity. It's do you have any good news?
outside of the news you already, I started my first job as an open trans person yesterday.
And I saw that you was wearing purple and looked super cute.
Oh, thank you. And you know, I asked for Rissy on my name tag and they were like, yeah, it's fine. And you know, going through orientation and all the anti-bullying, anti-harassment policies, you know, all these different things, I explicitly asked, do I have to put up with someone using trans slurs at me? Or do I have to not correct somebody if they misgender me? And they were like, no, speak up. And if somebody uses slurs at you, let us know and we'll have them escorted from the store. And I'm like, damn, I was like,
that is awesome.
Yeah, like the fact that the company is willing to say, no, this is one of our employees and you will not speak to them like that is like the opposite of what I've dealt with most of my life. So I'm still kind of surprised by that.
Okay, so I do have a semblance of hope for humanity in that there is a company that, because I don't think transgender falls under the protected class, does it?
In this state, it does.
Title 7 or something?
In this state, it does, and a few others. However, Trump is doing all he can.
Not under the federal statutes, though.
Right. They were.
Okay.
And now Trump is going after them and is trying to get gay people removed. And we'll probably try to be getting women removed next, because when we have to wake up and go, okay, what the fuck did the president do today? It's a terrifying time.
Yeah. And well, see, and I find that completely ironic. Well, not ironic, but just like, huh? Sort of, I can't find the words good today. But the fact that I want to say it was last year or so, but very recently, it was put out that women can be in combat roles,
mm-hmm.
which before they were banned from. Like, they weren't allowed in the infantry or, you know, the armored division and this kind of stuff. They had to be in non-combat roles or combat support roles, which is the most of the military, actually.
Right.
But now they're allowed to be in combat roles. And with that, they said, okay, anyone born after such and such a date, male and female, has to register with the Selective Service. So that's, I mean, that's a few years down the road when that's going to finally take place. But it's all because females can now be in combat roles, so why can't they be drafted too?
Right.
So, I mean, it goes along with the equality thing. And I mean, that was very interesting, because I know my dad had always said, well, always held the view that women will never be in combat roles because that means that they'll have to put them in with the Selective Service and they'll have to register for the draft. And he didn't think it would ever get to that point that they would do that.
Well, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. But, and I mean, that can be good or bad depending on your view. I mean, I know women that I mean, I served with one that joined as an MP because that was the closest she could get to a combat role in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Because MPs, when they're deployed and stuff, they I can't speak specifically of what they do because I never deployed, but I mean, they do area security, they do convoy escorts, and they do all kinds of different sort of things. So they, like, there are times they go in ahead of time and they secure the area before they set up the FOB and this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she joined specifically because that was the closest to combat she could get, and that's what she wanted. But because of the different standards, she wasn't allowed to do combat. So, I mean, it all depends on, like, how far you want to push the you can do whatever you want kind of thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been, since that passed, there have been, I want to say, one or two women who have passed the Ranger school in the Army, which is super duper crazy hard, because that's like one of the secret squirrel, the hardcore bastards, I can't think of the
Navy
special forces.
Special forces?
That's one of the special forces types stuff of the Army. So, yeah, I'm going to get so much hate mail if anyone listens to this, because they're going to be like, that's not the way you word it. Well, I just gave up my life force, so my brain ain't working, so, eh.
Yeah.
Close enough. But.
And those are discussions we should be able to have, but right now the president is working on making sure certain people can't serve, not that can serve, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, and I guess from what I've read, there was one that said he told the head of the Department of Defense that if he talks to the head of the Department of Homeland Security and he can give a good enough reason that they can try and come back and justify to him the Cheeto in chief, what, like, they can try and justify to him and change his mind that they should be allowed to serve.
Yeah. Because
or something.
It's almost like we're people. Once again, bringing it back.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I am concerned for those who are already in the military. And because the thing was passed back in 2016 saying that they could serve openly. And so they came out and they started getting their, you know, some of them started to transition and to present as their identity, you know, as their proper gender.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, well, you can't stuff that back in the closet. So with this, I mean, because I guess it goes into effect in 2018, are they going to force them out? Which I wouldn't be surprised. Probably give them the same sort of discharge as when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in effect, and if somebody found out that they were gay.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, that in itself is just infuriating, because I know there was someone at your live show who is in the military, and I was talking to her, and she's got 15 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So she can almost retire.
Right.
I mean, she's got 5 years left. And if this happens, I mean, are they going to offer her early retirement, or are they going to take all that away and simply say, you know, either honorable or general discharge because, sorry, you didn't stay true to your man bits or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
Yeah. So, yeah, we tried to get it positive there again, and here we are.
Yeah.
These are the
it's
times
hard to stay positive when you've got a rotten Cheeto.
Yeah.
Who is, like, I don't know, running around putting his little smudgy cheese fingers all over the White House and making it dirty.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that he pivoted back to us right after he was called out rightfully on not condemning Nazis? Like, it's just, it's so amazing that...
Oh, but didn't you hear there are very fine people on both sides.
Right, right. And he took so much shit over that that he's like, well, I might as well pivot back to the transgenders because at least we can agree on that, am I right?
Oh.
What a fucking world. I mean, for those who, you know, live under a fucking rock, I wrote a book right after the election before he even took office speaking to my fears and what I thought was going to happen, and so many people were willing
so
to tell me.
So many people said, oh, you're overreacting.
Yeah, just give him a chance. Yeah, I'm...
Well, there was his chance, and look where he stands.
Yep. And it's almost like we paid attention or something. I don't know.
So horrifying.
So that was fun.
Oh my goodness. Let me see. Let me try and think. Any good, happy, cheerful news. Well, I haven't been back to Catoctin since last week. I was gonna go yesterday, but the stuff with my husband came up, so but I have started making some earrings that I am going to donate to a pit bull rescue down in Montalto, because they do a, like, they do a little auction on their Facebook page every once in a while, mm-hmm. to raise funds to pay for the vet bills and stuff like that. So I decided to do that and make some stuff for them to help out, because, you know, I've got a couple of bullies myself. The good kind, the slobbery kind of bullies with the waggy tails, not the Cheetos that take over the country and make everybody fear for their job. So, I mean, I'm a sucker for those cute little drooly faces. So I was like, I will help them out by making cute little earrings and stuff. So I'm up to my crafty ways again a bit. So that's fun.
Well, I got a cute little story I can share to sort of end this on a good note.
Okay.
I went up to my new campus. Went up to my new campus for the first time yesterday, and I've already made friends with the queer student union, which is, you know, nice considering how much time I spent not realizing I had a safe space I could go to on Penn's campus. So I'm starting off.
Okay. Now, do they have a LGBT center here on this campus as well for you?
There's an area. It's called the Multicultural Center, and there is an LGBT space within it. Not quite like Penn, where there was an entire center, but better than nothing. Okay. And, you know, I reached out on their Facebook page, being like, "Hey, I'm coming to the school, you know, new grad student, and all that." And someone who used to go there was willing to show me around yesterday, and she had two little ones with her. One was 2.5, and one was 7 weeks. And
aww.
It was kind of fun for me because it's been 9 years since I've had a little baby, and I could see that she was stressed, as all new parents are. And I just said, give me the baby for a little bit, and out like a light. Like, I still got the touch.
Aww.
And we met up with Aiden and the kids for dinner. And my little girl is going to be one hell of a parent someday, because the second there was a baby, she was all over that, trying to help. And then with the 2-year-old, she was taking her out to jump around, you know, picking her up and pulling her out of the way whenever there were people coming by, and then walked her to the car herself, holding her hand the entire time. And I'm just like, this is precious.
That is too cute.
Yeah.
And your daughter is already just totes adorable and very sweet girl. So
yeah,
I can just imagine. That's just too cute.
Definitely.
So, all right, we will end it there, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good place. That and a car engine. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, well, they've got the corn festival going on, so there's all kinds of traffic, even more than normal.
Corn is always interesting.
Well, it's funny. Most of it is a bunch of local vendors because, you know, it's like a street fair.
Sure.
So they've got all the local vendors and they set up and it's just the one day and everything is made by the people who have the booth. So it's not, I'm an independent distributor for such and such big national company. It's, yeah, I made this. I'm homemade soaps, homemade candles, homemade, I mean, there's all the little crafty stuff, and there's a few different, like, bakery stuff. There's a couple different booths that have, like, homemade dog cookies and a whole bunch of jewelry stuff, and there's, like, doll clothes and all kinds of stuff. So it's fun just going and walking around, and actually the lady who made the custom pendant for my wedding is always there. So I had to stop by and see her and buy another pendant and almost faint because of my my lightheadedness, like, hit real bad when I was out there. So they're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit down for a second. Just don't mind me. But yeah, so I had to stop by and see her for a bit. So, but it brings in traffic from everywhere. And since our road is one of the last before the main street is shut down, like, yeah, traffic keeps zipping up and down. And they're all stupid and like to gun their engines. So we hear a bunch of it. I don't have a soundproofed area, so I can't, like, muffle that out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Of course, if you listen to the interview with Noah towards the end, you can hear all the thunder from the storm moving in. I'm lucky I ended when we did on that one, because it was, I want to say, maybe half an hour later, our power started flickering on and off. So that was a nasty storm. It was fun. But okay, so cheerful times.
Indeed.
And all right. And hopefully we answered our listener question well enough. If not, he knows where to find me. He can write back in. But thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Riz, for joining me today.
Always.
And we will talk to everybody later.
Yes, we will.
I want to thank you for joining us. If you like what you hear, please consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/doubtingdogma or leave a review on iTunes. You can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/doubtingdogma or on Twitter at doubtingdogma. The intro music was written and performed by Marissa Alexa McCool and was used with her permission.